Today is the July 18th, 2021 meeting of Hope Bible Church. Ken will be giving an update from the Masters Academy International. If you would like to support our sermon audio ministry, please click the Give button on our sermon audio homepage. Thank you.
Reading this morning is going to be in the book of Romans, the third chapter, verses 19 to 28. Romans chapter 3, verses 19 to 28. You may read in the Bible you brought. There should be one in the pew in front of you if you didn't bring a Bible, or you may simply listen to the Word of God. Romans 3, 19 to 28. Now we know that whatever the law says, it says to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be silenced and the whole world held accountable to God. Therefore, no one will be declared righteous in his sight by observing the law. Rather, through the law we become conscious of sin. And now a righteousness from God, apart from the law, has been made known, to which the law and the prophets testify. This righteousness from God comes through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There is no difference, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified freely by His grace through the redemption that came by Jesus Christ. God presented Him as a sacrifice of atonement through faith in His blood. He did this to demonstrate His justice, because in his forbearance he had left the sins committed beforehand unpunished. He did it to demonstrate his justice at the present time, so as to be just and the one who justifies those who have faith in Jesus. Where then is boasting? It is excluded. For what principle? On what observing the law? No, but on that faith. For we maintain that a man is justified by faith apart from observing the law. Would you join me in prayer? We can't grasp, Father, how you can be just and the justifier of us. The sacrifice of Christ, he became the propitiation for our sins, the mercy seat, the satisfaction that you required for sins. It's so easy for me to look and say, I got to do something. There's got to be more. There's got to be some righteousness that I have to do, some good that I have to maintain, to be in your good graces, to be loved by you. But you've made it clear that it is only by faith in Jesus Christ that I can be righteous. It is only by what he accomplished on the cross do I have any standing with you or any hope at all of one day standing in your presence and living with you, and I praise you for that. What he accomplished on that cross is beyond anything we can possibly understand. But before time began, you had already planned all of this. Praise you for the justice that we have, the righteousness that we have in Jesus Christ. Bless your word today, as it's brought to us. We ask it in Christ's name and for his sake. Amen. Now our friend Ken will come and share some missionary accomplishments. Thank you.
Well, good morning. It's good to be with you again. Yes, thanks for that answer back. So if you would, take your Bibles and open to the book of Revelation. I'm going to do something I've never done before, so we'll see if it works. I have a sermon that I entitled the Psalms, P-S-A-L-M-S, the Psalms of Revelation. Most people think Revelation is a book about prophecy, and it is. But equally so, it's a book about worship. You ever hear anybody say they want to worship Christ in the book of Revelation? Well, There's a lot of worship in the book of Revelation. And I want to show you those and at the same time give you a report on the Master's Academy International. Now, I was on the founding board of that ministry many years ago, probably 15 years ago. I need to look that up. And now I'm on the advisory board member. I'm an advisory board member. And I travel around the world, and it's starting to pick up again after COVID. So I was in Ukraine and Honduras twice in the last month. And other than wearing the mask for 10-hour flights, you know, it's okay. But the Lord has used COVID to his advantage in many places. And that seems kind of awkward for us, but God's in control of everything. We just sang about that. And he is building his church. We sing about that too through the gospel. So the purpose of the Master's Academy is to raise up godly elders who handle the word of God accurately in foreign lands. And that's why it exists. And I think many of you might be familiar with that organization. And if you're not, you can Google it, right? That's what everybody does. You can go online, the Master's Academy. So for years now, over a decade, in some cases over two decades, some of these ministries have been training pastors who have trained others who are planting churches and doing ministry of all sorts throughout 20-plus countries in the world. There's currently about 20 schools that are under the umbrella of the Master's Academy, and by that, we mean that at least two of the professors and faculty are from the Master's Seminary. So we know what doctrine is being taught. You can have confidence in the accounting and the spending and the philosophy of ministry and the doctrine in all these schools. And that's why I'm so excited about it, and I love to go see what God is doing. And you know what? It is all for his glory. It's all for the glory of Christ. That's why we exist, right? And he saves us so that we can praise him. And even in the last days when things are dark, and even in the tribulation period, when it's the darkest, there's a ton of rejoicing. In Revelation, before every major act of judgment, there's worship. Even the book begins with this glorious scene of Christ appearing to the Apostle John. Remember that? In all of his glory and eyes of fire, white hair, sword mouth, shining feet, golden girdle. I mean, it is spectacular of the glory of Christ. And that's what we make known, who he is and how he saves. You sung about that, right? He redeems us by his blood and builds a kingdom for us to share with him. Look at chapter 1 of Revelation. Verses 5 and 6. Now, this is after, you know, this is John's, after his introduction. And this is a psalm, P-S-A-L-M. What makes something a psalm? Well, anticipation. Remember, many of the psalms anticipate the rule of the king and God coming to reign and have victory. And adoration, supplication. How long, O Lord? That's a psalm. And thanksgiving, praise, wisdom, and lament. Sorry for sins. The royal psalms sung to and about and for the king. Well, we find this type of thing, and there's rhythm, rhyme, parallel lines. We find that in at least 15 sections in the book of Revelation. So the Psalms of Revelation. Look at this doxology that is psalm-ish. I think I just made that word up, right? It is psalm-ish. In verses 5 and 6, to him, the Lord Jesus, who loves us. By the way, I think that's the only time in the New Testament where that's in the present tense. It's usually loved. He loves us continually and released us from our sins by his blood. This is a psalm. It's a doxology. It's praise. It's adoration. It's anticipation. And he has made us to be a kingdom, priest to his God and Father. To him be glory in the dominion forever and ever. If you found that in the book of Psalms, you'd think it would belong there, right? That's what it sounds like. And there's another thing that happens in the book of Revelation. They're called waves of worship. Waves. W-A-V-E-S. The four will bow down, the four living beings. Then the 24, then the multitude, then every creature. It's like waves crashing on the shore, one after another. And that's what's happening in a lot of these psalms. I don't have time to give you the background, but a lot of them are one wave after another. Waves of worship. The four beings around the throne have no rest. They worship and sing songs and proclaim psalms to our God and our Christ. They have no rest. They do it all the time. Look at chapter 4. And I have the notes. You should have notes in front of you. I have the text there. But if you want to see the context, look at chapter 4, verses 8 through 11. We begin in verse 8 with our second psalm. Praise to the Eternal One. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God, the Almighty, who was and is and who is to come. By the way, that right there does away with people who deny the Trinity. Because what God says about himself, the first and the last, Christ says about himself, the first and the last. So this is another doxology, psalm-like praise to the Lord God, the Almighty, and adoration because he is eternal, who was and is to come. Now, I think about that, and I think about one of the seminaries, one of the first ones I went to 25 years ago, Christ Seminary in South Africa, located in the northern part of the country, training pastors who come out, who were saved out of horrible conditions, you know, ancestral worship. Some of the students did not come because they had more than one wife, you know, or they had many children from different ladies, but they wanted to go to seminary. How do you work all that out after they get saved? Okay, that's for another mission conference. So, but the thing I want you to grasp is idolatry, ancestor worship, demonic activity in the tribes, and now they're learning to handle God's word that proclaims the one and true living God. My first time there, well, I got a phone call in my office 25 years ago, and this man said, would you help us build a seminary building in South Africa? I said, well, who's going to teach there? He said, that doesn't matter. They have like third grade education. I said, yes, it does matter. He goes, okay, you find the teachers. Well, I took him up on it, and I called the master's seminary. And two men volunteered, and they went to Polokwane and started a seminary that today has 96 students, 24 in, 24 out every year, and they are all over Africa preaching the gospel of Christ. This preaching about the one true God we just read about, singing his praises, handling the word of God that tells about who God and Christ and the Spirit are, coming out of all that. And in the meantime, the pastor of the church where the seminary was founded, he's no longer there because of sin. But the seminary continues. So at the same time, Christ is building his church. Some fall away, but Christ is building his church. It is amazing. We have students. We have teachers now, our professors, all but one were trained by Master Seminary grads. They're nationals, all of them. And they teach Hebrew, Greek, the whole Masters of Divinity, the whole thing. And they even have a guy on staff who visits their villages to make sure they're applying what they learn in the classroom. Because they come 10 days a month and they're back in their villages for 20 days a month. So, amazing phone call. I'll never forget. The man said, it doesn't matter who's teaching them. They only have third grade education. Wow. That's evil. It really is. And so, by God's grace, I was crazy enough to take him up on his offer. And I met two men in Miami. We flew all the way to South Africa. And I got to tell you one more part of this story for Christ Seminary. You can read about it at the TMEI website. But when we went there, we went out into the villages and we saw the church under the tents. And it was wild. Oh, it was terrible. It was just wild. The dancing, the music, the sermon was unbiblical. It was awful. And so we went to leave the day before we were going to leave. And we told the leaders, we said, we can't work with you. And they said, well, why not? So we ran down the list, you know, because we're Americans. We know everything, right? We said, you're wrong on this. Your preaching's wrong. Your singing's wrong. You know, we just went down the whole line. All of your philosophy of ministry, it's all wrong. And so these two men sat there and listened to us. And they said, okay, fine. Why don't you be like all the other Americans? Tell us what you think and leave. If you care about us, put your money where your mouth is and come teach us. So the three of us went to our room, got down on our hands and knees, cried and prayed and asked for God to forgive us for being so proud. And so two of those men, 3 months later, took their families back to South Africa and started that seminary. And now they are doing it right. Now they are doing it right. Proclaiming the praises, the psalms of God in Christ in that part of the world. There's graduates from many countries all over Southern Africa from that school. Let's look at our third psalm. Chapter 4, verse 11. Worthy is the Creator. And these are sung by the angels. Sometimes just the four, sometimes the 24, sometimes by all the angels. Worthy are you, O Lord our God, to receive glory and honor and power. For you created all things, and because of your will they existed and were created. God is the Creator. By the way, evolution is not a Genesis thing. It's a Bible thing. Right? Creation is all over the place. And that reminds me of our ministries in places like Japan and India. Pantheism. Hinduism. Buddhism. No Creator. Everything just cycles. Reincarnation. I remember being in one of the Buddhist temples. This was only a few years ago. Watching a woman and her kids praying to the Buddha. And I asked them when they were done, why were you doing that? Listen, you were with me. I said, why did you do that? She goes, because that's what we do. I mean, we've done this since we grew up. That was her answer. And she's just praying for a boy because she's pregnant. The Buddha would give her a boy. So these are hard places. You know, a lot of missionaries have left Japan. It's hard work. But TMEI has a training ministry there, training hearing and deaf pastors, training men to handle the Word of God. It's done in various regions around Japan from the islands. The men travel constantly and teach. In India, you know, it's very tough there. You can't go in and out because of the COVID. We've got all kinds of strains and it's tough. And I don't know if you're aware of this or not, but the Hindu government in India now denies any foreign currency to nonprofits. So you can't even send money to our seminary in India. There's ways to do things. But it is illegal for the seminary and churches to receive money from the states. That's how hard the Hindu government is getting. I don't think a lot of people realize that. However, we got a great school there. It's in a location. And people come from all over India, even a couple other countries, by train and plane to be taught the Word of God on the coast of India. Amazing. Right in the middle of idolatry, Christ is building his church and training men to handle the Word of God. By the way, somebody translated, just, you know, like Japan and Asia, somebody translated Genesis Flood. Are you familiar with that? A book on creationism by ICR. And I think they could only sell like 100 copies. There was just no one interested. So we sing about our Creator because that's what we do. And we should. But there's a nation that maybe 50 people were interested in buying a copy of a book, the classic on creationism. And the suicide rate in Japan is off the charts. Okay? So, anyway, let's look at our fourth psalm. Do you see the need for training in seminaries and Bible schools around the world? Because we want people in those other nations to sing psalms like this and know what they mean. Okay? Our fourth psalm. Worthy is the Savior. Chapter 5, beginning in verse 9. Worthy are you to take the book and to break its seals, for you were slain and purchased for God with your blood, men from every tribe, tongue, people, and nation. That's what we're talking about, all the nations. We want all the nations to be glad. In the millennium, they will, right? They're going to come and worship Christ. By the way, that is just loaded. Worthy are you to take the book. It isn't that Jesus just opens the seals to see what's in them. No, he opens them because he enacts them. He's the one doing it. Because he purchased us. His death and resurrection. The resurrection vindicates him to be the judge of the earth and the savior of men and women from all nations. Notice this, from every tribe, tongue, people, and nation. You have made them to be a kingdom and priests to our God, and they will reign upon the earth. It doesn't look like that now, does it? Not at all. But we will reign on the earth. It's what the Bible says. And we teach men to teach the Bible, that teaches about the kingdom that Christ will establish on this earth as he rules and reigns. And some of these have more than one stanza. Do you see that in your notes? The second stanza. More heavenly singers, they sing, worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive glory and power and riches and wisdom. He already has it, obviously, but he gets it. And might and honor and glory and blessing. And then the third stanza, even more heavenly singers jump in verse 13. To him, this is to the Son, to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and dominion forever and ever. Why do people pick up and go to other nations and preach and train people to handle the Word of God accurately? So that they'll do this. So they'll bless the Lamb. We'll sing his praises. By the way, when I teach this in a class, we all sing together, each one of these, out loud. Because we're practicing for heaven. That's what these are. And we want people on earth to sing these praises. Look, there's an encore, right? The four heavenly beings say, Amen. And then the 24 bow down and worship. It's wave after wave of worship. To him who sits on the throne, he is worthy of all this. Dominion forever and ever. Only Christ has dominion. Which makes me think about our seminary in Albania. Years ago, a family, Bob Provost and Rob Provost, went to Albania. This was after the country fell, the government collapsed, and they went in, and through a series of events, and obviously God's providence, they seized a house that belonged to the dictator. And in this house, he signed a document, the only one in history we know of, where the Constitution declared there is no God. In that very house today is a church in the seminary. Who gets the last laugh? God does. Matter of fact, I was just there 2 years ago. Check this out. In Albania, teaching men from all over Europe who came to Albania because they could speak English in the master's program for all these schools in Europe. The book of Amos in Hebrew. Think about that. In a country right down the street from a house where a dictator said there is no God, we are teaching the Old Testament in Hebrew and the New Testament in Greek. That's exciting. That's totally exciting. And these guys are planting churches all over. And then next door, Croatia. Croatia. Do you know the team of the staff at the seminary in Croatia has translated over 100 books from MacArthur and other well-known names like that? Matter of fact, TMAI schools have translated about 1,000 books now around the world. Some of them have worked on the MacArthur Study Bible in about 15 languages. It's incredible. In the Czech Republic. So that whole area used to be dominated by dictators. Now has 3 schools, 3 seminaries. I remember when I first went there years ago, right when this school started, in order to preach, we had to go to a gas station and close the doors because if people were found going to a Protestant church in Croatia, they would lose their jobs. As a matter of fact, when the team from the Master Seminary went to Croatia, it's been over 20 years ago, they looked up, they tried to find documents of believers being immersed, baptized. And the most recent they could find was almost 500 years. So they believe, at least to their knowledge, they were the first ones to immerse people in the northern part of Croatia in almost 500 years. Because really, the Reformation never got to Croatia. Actually, more Catholic than Italy. But now, they can sing songs like this. Okay? Look at our fifth psalm. Chapter 6, verse 10. How long, O Lord, holy and true, will you refrain from judging and avenging our blood on those who dwell on the earth? And this is followed in chapter 7, verse 10 by another psalm. Salvation to our God who sits on the throne and the Lamb. We don't normally think of Revelation having this much worship, do we? We get caught up in what the mark of the beast is. That's a side note. Worship is forefront in Revelation. It's a footnote who the mark is, what the mark of the beast is. Worship is the main point. The seventh psalm, chapter 7, verse 12. Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Think about that when you think about the history of Germany. Where Luther came from. The Reformation began. And now it's so liberal. I think together in Europe now, depending on the country, it's 1 to 6% Christian. A couple hundred years ago, it was totally the opposite. It's gone totally liberal. Europe is pretty much secularized now, along with Australia, New Zealand, who declare to be secular states publicly. But guess what? Got a training center, European Bible Training Center in Berlin, and it has several other campuses, one in Zurich. I taught there also. Amazing. German speakers. Hundreds of students scattered all over. Translations being done all the time in Germany. By the way, they have their own publishing. The school has its own publishing arm. They're producing so many materials. So even though the numbers don't sound good, Christ is still building his church. And materials are needed. Germany, the same is for Italy. By the way, I brought this. You know what this is? They only printed 500, and they still haven't sold them all. There's just not enough people interested in Italy. That's the MacArthur Study Bible in Italian. Okay? They can't get rid of 500. That's how few Christians are there. Okay? So, to have one location just doesn't get it. So, the guys, they travel around Italy doing their training and producing works, translating, and preaching in conferences. What a great need. But we want them to sing praises like this, right? Look at the 8th Psalm. Chapter 11, verse 15. The kingdom of this world has become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ. Wow. When you think about the way the world's going, I just look forward to the kingdom so much. By the way, I'm a premillennialist. Have you gathered that? Okay? It's the first phase of our eternal life, ruling and reigning with Christ. When we think about harps and, you know, wings and all that stuff for heaven, why don't we think about ruling with Christ when all the nations flow to Jerusalem, bowing down to him? Because, and singing these psalms in the kingdom. The kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ, and he will reign forever and ever. Look at the 9th psalm, found in Revelation 11, verses 17. And following. The first stanza is devotion to the Almighty. We give thanks. We give you thanks, O Lord God, the Almighty, who are and who were, because you have taken your great power and have begun to reign. Even before the tribulation is over, they're already singing, it's a done deal. He has begun to reign. And the second stanza, verse 18. And the nations were enraged, and your wrath came. By the way, all through the book of Revelation, you have that statement, and they did not repent. They did not repent. Even as God is pouring out his wrath, Christ is, they still don't repent. But the elect do, because there's many who are saved at the end. And the nations were enraged, and the time came for the dead to be judged, and the time to reward your bondservants, the prophets and the saints, and those who fear your name, the small and the great, and to destroy those who destroy the earth. Don't we want to be numbered with those, the small and the great, who are redeemed, who reign with Christ? And that's why we want to train others in seminaries around the world to proclaim this good news and not get caught up in the wrath to come. Which reminds me of Spain. And I'm going there on September 4th to do the graduation ceremony at our seminary in Spain. And did I tell you the story of their building? I don't think I did when I was here before. I got to make a long story real short. But they own this little plot of ground right in the middle of the city that was growing all around it, sky, with high-rise apartments. The government made a misstep and gave them the property because it was going to be out of their name, because they were granting property to all churches, thinking Catholic churches. Well, unwittingly, they gave this church the property, and they said, oh, well, if you don't build on it in 4 years, then it's ours again. They raised $4 million and built a building that houses the seminary and the church, and it's growing. And as far as I know, it's the only Protestant church building that was given a permit to build in the country of Spain. And we had the opportunity to go there a couple of years ago, and it's just incredible. And when they opened it, they invited all the priests and all the government officials to come for the opening service. It was amazing. And by the way, you know how that seminary started? A young man was saved, went to the master's seminary, and went back to his home country and took three other graduates with him. And they're still there today. Training Spanish pastors. Isn't that the fourth most spoken language in the world? I think third or fourth, Spanish is. So, look at our next psalm, the 10th psalm, a song of victory. Chapter 12, verse 10, salvation from God and Christ. Now salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ have come. You know, it's written in the past tense, but it's really future because it's as good as done, right? You can write it down. It's already happened, even though in time, space, and history it hasn't. Salvation and power and the authority of his Christ have come. For the accuser of our brethren has been thrown down. He who accuses them before our God day and night. Crazy devil won't give up, will he? Look at the second stanza in verse 11. And they overcame him because of the blood of the Lamb and because of the word of their testimony. And they did not love their life, even when faced with death. By the way, I could tell you about seminaries in some countries, but we get in trouble because we're online. You just have to trust me. But you know what? People die there. People die there. I have a friend who operates a seminary in Myanmar right now. You read about Myanmar? Total government collapse. By the way, South Africa's collapsing too. The government's Cuba, Myanmar, they're killing people left and right. Most of the missionaries have fled the country, but our friends there. So some do not love their life even when faced with death. The faith of our fathers was saying about that, right? Sending our kids and our people from our churches to go to places like this to train others. For this reason, rejoice, verse 12 of chapter 12 in Revelation. Rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them. Woe to the earth and the sea, because the devil has come down to you having great wrath, knowing he has a short time. The devil knows he has a short time. He's read his Bible. And we've read ours too, right? Life is like a vapor. What's done for Christ, only that will last. That's why Paul is so anxious to go and preach. So if you can't get behind a school at TMAI, they're going for you. And you hold the rope and allow them to go. And you can see on the website individual needs at each of these schools. And more stories than the ones I'm telling you this morning. I'm giving you the big picture of TMAI, incredible things going on. The 11th song. By the way, think of that. Those who did not love their life. I just taught in Ukraine. 4 weeks ago? They're so hungry for the Word of God. Guys in the classroom, even with COVID, they're coming and just eating up the Word of God. They're so excited for it. And they take it back and preach in their churches. And there's a lot of the middle-aged guys who remember the persecution that their parents underwent. And they know people who were in prison before Soviet Union fell. But you know what's coming again? The wall will go back up. So that's why we're heavily invested in Russia and places like that. Because when the Americans can't go anymore, and by the way, every TMS grad has been kicked out of Russia now. The only ones left there are the ones we trained. Thank God we're there for 25 years. And raised up men who could write commentaries on the Bible in their own language in Russia. These are done by our students. And they're high quality, biblically sound, and accurate. The devil knows he has a short time. We should think the same. For a different reason. To proclaim the glory of Christ. His reason is to deny the glory of Christ. God forbid. Look at the 11th Psalm, chapter 15, verses 3 and 4. Great and marvelous are your works, O Lord God the Almighty. Righteous and true are your ways. King of the nations, not just the U.S., but all the nations. Who will not fear, O Lord, and glorify your name? By the way, how do you... That's why training is so important. Because you need to know what the Bible says about God so you can honor and praise Him accurately and more effectively work for Him. You alone are holy, for all the nations will come and worship before you, and your righteous acts have been revealed. They're always being revealed, but in the end, they certainly will be when He judges and establishes His kingdom. And we pray that through our schools, many more will be redeemed to praise our gracious Christ. Look at the 12th Psalm, chapter 16, verse 5 and 6. Oh, I wish I could give you the background of these. This is in the middle of all those horrible, bold judgments. And there's a pause in verse 5. Righteous are you who are and who were, O Holy One, because you judge these things. For they poured out the blood of the saints and the prophets, and you have given them blood to drink. Look at the last three words. They deserve it. Wow. That doesn't preach well on Christian television, does it? Judgment because you deserve it. Well, they do deserve it. Think of all the missionaries that have lost their lives and the prophets who died to proclaim God's word. So that's what at TMEI, whether it's an open country or a closed country or a difficult one, we're there to train people to proclaim this incredible word of God that speaks of our God and Savior. Look at the 13th Psalm. Chapter 16, verse 7. You, O Lord God the Almighty, true and righteous are your judgments. Yeah, oops, I judge. No. I judge. That's true and righteous. That's what God says. He saves and He judges. Still, they will not repent. If you read the next few verses, chapter 16 and 9, verses 9 and 11, they still don't repent. But there will be victory. Notice this in the 14th Psalm that I have noted for you today. Okay? In chapter 19, beginning in verse 1, look at the first stanza. It's the Hallelujah chorus. Hallelujah, the sound of victory. Hallelujah, salvation and glory and power belong to our God. Not just God, but our God. Because His judgments are true and righteous. For He has judged the great harlot. You know, that whole world system that we see growing right in front of our eyes. Who was corrupting the earth with her immorality. Man, my goodness. You know, travel is a great educator. And the immorality in the earth now is unbelievable. Human trafficking, sex trade. We're involved in it on our borders, by the way. 3 months ago, I drove 25 miles down our border, rubbing my hand on Trump's beautiful wall. You know how many border agents I saw? Zero. I got pictures on my phone of holes in the wall. We're guilty of human trafficking, sex trafficking. It's horrible. It's horrid. But God's going to judge all that. In the meantime, we've got to preach His word and train others to do the same in all languages. For He has avenged the blood of His bondservants on her. God will win. Some may lose their lives. But Christ wins. I think of that when I stand in front. I stood teaching a class in Samara, Russia, out in Siberia. And I'm teaching the book of Philippians about Paul being in jail. And the guy in front of me had gone to jail for preaching the gospel the month before. A student. I'm thinking, why am I teaching this? He ought to teach it. He lived it. So, but he was happy to learn the word of God. And we're teaching Philippians in the Greek text. So they know their Bible. Look at this, the Hallelujah chorus, the second stanza, chapter 19, verse 3. Hallelujah, her smoke rises up forever. Everybody sees the smoke of the earth system gone up when Christ judges, and they sing Hallelujah. And then there's an encore, Amen, Hallelujah. And then everybody in heaven on earth, everyone joins in, all ranks of angels around the throne. They say, praise, give praise to our God. All you, His bondservants, who fear Him, the small and the great. You see an echo sometimes in these psalms. The small and the great, that means we're all equal at the cross. All of us who fear Him. We're Christians, we're God-fearers, we're repenters. And we need to be proclaimers and teachers. That's what TMAI is for, teaching and discipling. Elders, godly elders, to handle the word of God accurately. Now, one more psalm, the wedding song. The first stanza. Hallelujah, for the Lord our God, the Almighty, reigns. But, you know, if you have Christ reigning as the backdrop to decision making, it helps. Should we go there? Should we train people there? Yes. Christ is going to reign. That's the backdrop to our decision making. Look at the second stanza. Let us rejoice and be glad and give Him glory. Give glory to Him, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and His bride has made herself ready. Again, when we're training, we're not just doing Hebrew and Greek. We're doing how to handle the whole Word of God and live it out and be a godly elder. So that the saints, you know, as the pulpit goes, so goes the church in these countries. That's why we're doing spiritual Reaganomics, right? Trickle-down theory. The better the pulpits, the more accurate the Word of God is preached. The Holy Spirit uses the accurate preaching of His Word, and it trickles down to godly lives, people, the bride making herself ready. Of course, we're made ready by the blood of Christ. We're declared righteous, but we're also being made ready as He sanctifies us through the teaching of His Word. It was given to her to clothe herself in fine linen, bright and clean. That's Christ's righteousness, no doubt about that. Okay? And it is the righteous acts of the saints. That's what we are rewarded for also. So, TMI, tons of great stories. We just hired a full-time publisher who has cataloged all of the books. I don't know. It's somewhere, I don't want to make a mistake, 7,000-8,000 books that the TMEI schools have translated. You know, you think about Croatia. 10 million people speak Croatian. And now they have the MacArthur Study Bible notes. That's amazing. Okay. By the way, we just finished Steve Kreloff's book, God's Plan for Israel in Spanish. Just finished it. It's going to be available for the whole world, Spanish world. Yeah. So that's important. It's part of training, and our guys on the field do this. They do it. Let me tell you one more. Honduras. Because I go there a lot. I just made my 90th trip, 90, to Honduras. And one of my best ever. We took some Mexican pastors from Mexico to see the work we were doing because they want to duplicate what we're doing in some parts of Mexico. And our seminary there, under COVID with Zoom, you know, last year was Zoom, the students are starting to come back. We just had the largest intake of residential students ever, 27 men, representing seven Spanish-speaking countries are on site at our seminary in Honduras. That's incredible. And they're learning the Word of God. We've just gone online totally, and we also have a blended program where you can do the Spanish and then do some courses in a couple locations and do the rest online. So we're trying to meet everybody's need. A lot of people can go to, like the Master Seminary has a Spanish seminary. But that's for the 1%. That's for the people who can pay, you know, $200 or $300, of course. We're offering ours for $10. And giving them a Logos program. When they graduate, it's theirs for life. And so we just tell donors about this. You want to help? Giving a Logos Bible system to a man is like giving him three professors for life. So we're just going out on faith. We're raising the funds. It's $300 per student. We made a deal with Logos. Per year, and then the fourth year, they get theirs free for life. So these are great things happening in Honduras. I just took our church. We took 10 people down there. We were working at Melvin's church. You know Pastor Melvin? Y'all know him around here? We were working on his new building, and while we were working there, he's one of our students who graduated and now is our professor of hermeneutics. So we're not just dumping the data. We're raising up guys to take our place. So, by the way, I think in all of our professors in Honduras now, there's only two gringos. And I'm one of them. So, it's amazing. But one of our graduates, who's also a professor, we were working on his church building. And I'll finish with this story so you can pray for this guy named Josue. He was holding his mouth. He was an unbeliever. He was just working. They hired him to lay blocks. He's holding his mouth. I said, "What's wrong with you?" Through an interpreter. He had hardly any teeth, and the ones he had were all infected. So I said, "Come with me." I took him down to a dentist who I knew in town. And she pulled two teeth, gave him stitches, fixed them all up. You know how much it cost? $45. So I gave her $60. A tip. And so when he came back 2 days later to the job site, the church, I said, "Are you feeling better?" He goes, "Yeah." I said, "God healed you, didn't he?" He goes, "Oh, Dios, Dios," because he's a Catholic. I said, "You know, I did you a favor, didn't I?" He goes, "Yes, Senor, yeah." I said, "You do me a favor. I'm preaching here Sunday. Will you come to church and bring your family?" And I stuck my hand out, and then he reluctantly stuck his out. But when he shook my hand, he knew he had to come. And that Sunday, that construction worker was at church with his son. And we preached the gospel. And Melvin is following up on him. So, it's not just the seminary classes. These guys are doing ministry, counseling, evangelism, clinics, all kinds of things because they got a great biblical worldview that they've learned in the TMAI schools. And all of it goes back to these Psalms, honoring God in Christ who saved us. Right? So I would encourage you, any dime, any penny you send to TMAI, pick a school, pick a project. It's well worth it. And you know what? It's not something new. These are all well-run, established, fruitful ministries that have track records. By the way, Some won't, because we're getting ready in the next 3 years to add about 12 or 15 more schools. So, some are being added right now as more master seminary grads go out. All right? Praise God, right? Did you know there was that much worship in the book of Revelation? It's pretty amazing. Worship God, the Lamb, and His Spirit. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for loving us, for enabling us by your Spirit to sing these psalms along with the angels who will sing it in time, space, and history when you come to judge and then rule and reign. We pray that you use us, use TMAI, and these men who have gone, some in very, very difficult situations. Keep them safe. Help them train men to handle your word, your beautiful, perfect, holy word that gives us the picture of Christ, describes our so great salvation, and encourages us all in these days to come until you rule and reign. Thank you for this church, its leaders. Use it here in this community. Thanks for their love for missions and knowing what's going on around the world. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.